We've been learning the Sicha of Shlach Navi Artishlach, the Sicha of Chayasara Tavshin Nunbeis. What we'll be talking about is connected to that Sicha and focus more on the day itself today of Gimel Tammuz. In any inyan of a chassid, wherever there is any area of Yiddishkeit, any area of Torah mitzvahs, and a chassid wants to know how to act and what to do when it comes to minhagim of Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, and anything else. So certainly when it comes to a day like Gimel Tammuz, a day that is beyond all of us, there's no question that we turn to the Rebbe's Sichas and we look to see what the Rebbe says about something like this and to try to apply that to ourselves. And of course, the only thing we have to compare this to is to see how the Rebbe spoke and what the Rebbe said in a time which is similar to this, which is Yud Shvat, Tavshin Yud. And there are three things, perhaps, to point to that the Rebbe strongly spoke about during that time and how we should apply this to ourselves. And we'll elaborate on these three points, how they apply to us. Number one, I don't know which is number one or which is number two, but one of the points are where the Rebbe tells us constantly, this is in the Sichas, in the letters, that if we look at those things that the Friedrich Rebbe spoke about recently, in other words, in the recent months or in the recent year, that's where we will find direction what to do now. The Friedrich Rebbe knew that this date is coming, and therefore he gave us instructions, he gave us direction what we should do now. This is brought in a number of places. One of them, which is actually connected to Yud Beis Tammuz, there's a sicha from the Rebbe that the Rebbe says, this was Yud Beis Tammuz Tavshin Yud, a few months after the Histalkus. And the Rebbe says, if you look at the sicha of the Friedrich Rebbe, what he spoke about last year, we see that the Friedrich Rebbe spoke about Chayim Nitzchim, about eternal life. And the Rebbe says, why is it that he spoke about it last year, not the year before, not 2 years ago? How come he chose to speak about this subject, Dafka, last year, Yud Beis Tammuz time? And the Rebbe says the answer is, because the Friedrich Rebbe was preparing us, knowing that this year, Yud Beis Tammuz, meaning 1949, would be the last Yud Beis Tammuz that he's going to be speaking. So therefore, he prepared us that although there's going to be a Yud Shvat, and therefore some people might think that there's an interruption, Chas V'Shalom, in the Rebbe's life, so therefore he emphasized and spoke about this very strongly, that we should know that the Rebbe's life is Chayim Nitzchim, and there is Chas V'Shalom, no interruption in the Rebbe's life. We'll soon talk about this more. But what we see here is that the Rebbe says, those things that Rebbe spoke about a few months ago, a year and a half ago, that's more negeya to us now than anything else, because he certainly was saying it to prepare us for now. That's one point. I just want to point out that we also find in the Sichas how the Rabbeim were well aware of these things, not only a few months before, but years before. Just to give a few examples. It says that in the year Toprish Ayin Dalet, which is 1914, that's when Rebbetzin Rivka was nostalgic. Rebbetzin Rivka was the mother of the Rebbe Rashab. When she was nostalgic, the Rebbe Rashab was not in Lubavitch. He was outside of Lubavitch, and he couldn't come in time for the Levaya. So the Friedrich Rebbe had to make all the decisions himself, what to do, how to do. And the Rebbe says that the Friedrich Rebbe was very intense at the time, and it looked like it was because the entire responsibility of making all these decisions about Rebbetzin Rivka was on his shoulders. Ordinarily, his father, the Rebbe Rasha, would make all the decisions. But then the Rebbe says, no. The degree of his intensity and the degree of how he was much more than that called for. So the Rebbe says the real reason why he was that way, Tov Rejayin Dalet, because we know that Rebbetzin was nostalgic on Yud Shvat. And the Friedrich Rebbe was aware of Yud Shvat, Tov Shin Yud. So the Rebbe is saying that in 1914, the Friedrich Rebbe was the way he was because he knew that that date is also Yud Shvat of his Histalkus. Another example, which is the story with Rebbe Marash. The Rebbe Marash was nostalgic on Yud Gimel Tishrei. He was very young, 48 years old. And it says that the Rebbe Marash, when he spoke to the Rebbetzin, the Rebbetzin Rivka again, before Rosh Hashanah, he told her that soon he's going to take or walk 31 steps Lamaila, and she'll walk 31 steps Lamata. And of course she began to panic when she heard such words. And she said, we have young children. And 2 weeks later, the Rebbe Marash was nostalgic. And the Rebbe said, what did he mean by she will take 31 steps Lamata? She lived for another 31 years. So the Rebbe Marash gave very precise, clear nevuah, exactly how and when things are going to be. There's also another story, which I think we mentioned enough times in this class, but I'll mention it briefly, how when the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, rather the Tzemach Tzedek, when he became Rebbe, this was before Shavuos, and there was a lot of begging and pleading that he should become Rebbe, and finally, a few days before Shavuos, 3 days before, he accepted the Nesius. And we know that when Rebbe accepts and sees, the first thing is to say a maimer. By our Rebbe, the first maimer was Bosi Legani. The Tzemach Tzedek's first maimer was Al Shleish Dvarim Ha'olam Oymet. Tzemach Tzedek began the maimer, and as soon as he began, he stopped, he interrupted, and he said, don't be cheshed me, don't accuse me of something which I'm not to be accused of. I have no choice, but my grandfather is telling me to do this. And nobody knew what the Tzemach Tzedek was talking about. And he went on with the maimon. Later, there was a chassid of Isaac Humler was sitting there, and he told the chassidim that the Tzemach Tzedek was talking to him. And Tzemach Tzedek was reading his thoughts. And he said to them that many years ago, when the Alter Rebbe once said a maimon, the chassidim didn't understand that it was too difficult, and they asked the Alter Rebbe to repeat the maimon a second time. And the Alter Rebbe agreed. And they said, made up, that after the Alter Rebbe davened, they'll walk into the Alter Rebbe's room, and the Alter Rebbe will review the maimer for them personally. Rabbi Isaac Humler was one of the people that was chosen to go in. In those days, the Tzemach Tzedek was a little child. It was after the histalkus of Rebbetzin Dvorah Leah, and the Alter Rebbe accepted upon himself that he would raise him like his own child, so the Tzemach Tzedek would always be in the Alter Rebbe's room. And when the Alter Rebbe would daven, the Tzemach Tzedek would be there, and he would also put on tefillin like the Alter Rebbe. What did he do for tefillin? He took potatoes, put one potato on his arm, and another potato on his head, tied it around with strings, and he davened. When the Alter Rebbe would shake and daven, he also shook. So the Chassidim were near the Alter Rebbe's room, and they knew that after the Alter Rebbe finishes davening, it's time to go in. They couldn't see the Alter Rebbe, but through the cracks in the wall, they could see the Tzemach Tzedek, the little boy, playing. And they knew that as long as he's shaking with his potato tefillin, the Alter Rebbe is still davening. And when they saw that he took off his potato tefillin, they knew the Alter Rebbe is now finishing to daven. The Alter Rebbe, Taka, finished davening and opened the door and asked them to come in. When they came in, Rabbi Isaac says, I was still a young man, and I was so overwhelmed, I couldn't move. Suddenly, I hear the Alter Rebbe's voice, and the Alter Rebbe is saying, who is standing outside? So someone answered, a younger man. So the Alter Rebbe said, a younger man, a young man is going to become an older person, let him come in. And he walked in, and the Alter Rebbe was going to say the maimer, but he noticed Tzemach Tzedek was playing with his strings, and his string got caught on one of the legs of the table, and he felt that he won't be able to concentrate on the maimer while the Alter Rebbe is speaking. So he was about to bend down and tell the Tzemach Tzedek to maybe he should play somewhere else so he won't disturb them. He didn't even open his mouth to say anything, and suddenly he hears the Alter Rebbe says, "Let him be. He's listening. You'll yet know that he's listening." And the Alter Rebbe said, "Amaymer al shleisha dvarim ha'ilu maymer." And he said, when the Tzemach Tzedek said this maimer some 30 years later, the first thought that came to him, this is unbelievable, this is that maimer the Alter Rebbe was saying when the Tzemach Tzedek was running around as a little child. That's when the Tzemach Tzedek interrupted and again answered his thought. And what happened here? Answered his thought. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, "Don't accuse me that I'm doing this to prove something. I'm only doing it because Alter Rebbe told me to say it." But if you think of this story, it's also an amazing story. What happened here was, the Alter Rebbe said a maimer, and Rabbi Isaac Hummler was thinking of stopping the Tzemach Tzedek, and in an instant, the Alter Rebbe referred to something which is going to happen after the Alter Rebbe's Astalkus, after the Mittler Rebbe's Astalkus, when the Tzemach Tzedek is going to become Rebbe some 30 years later. So therefore, the Rebbe tells us that we should refer to those sichas that the Friedrich Rebbe gave recently, because in those sichas, he's addressing our situation. And therefore, from this, we also know that for us to know how to conduct ourselves now, it's most important to look into the sichas that were said recently. In fact, we can also add another thing. If the Alter Rebbe was able to talk about 30 years later, and if the Rebbe Marash was able to talk about 30 years later, it's not so far-fetched to say that when the Rebbe spoke all those sichas in Tavshin Yud and told us how to relate to Yud Shvat, he was also letting us know how we should relate to the situation as well now. So therefore, this is point number one, that one thing is definite. Those sichas which the Rebbe gave recently, they're the most negeya to now. Another point, which the Rebbe reiterates constantly, is the point that all the heiros that the Friedrich Rebbe gave, nobody should chas v'shalom make any changes. There should be no changes. And whoever the Friedrich Rebbe told something that they should do, whether they should go on shlichus, they should do a certain avodah, chas v'shalom to make any changes, everybody should continue doing that which the Friedrich Rebbe told them to do. And the Rebbe says this very clearly. He's talking about general heiros that he told to all the chassidim in general, and also specific heiros that he gave individuals. In fact, a lot of people are writing to the Rebbe and asking the Rebbe to make changes, to go back from their shlichus place, to stop doing something else, they found it too difficult. And everyone, the Rebbe said, if the Friedrich Rebbe told you to do this, this is what you should do and don't make any changes. And for this purpose, the Rebbe then told the story of the Meraglim, and the Rebbe said that the downfall of the Meraglim was that they made changes in what Moshe Rabbeinu told them. And not big changes, they only changed the order of certain words. And as a result of that, they came to say something which was totally against Moshe Rabbeinu. And then for 40 years, we had to suffer in the Midbar and so on. Then there's a third Nekuda, which the Rebbe speaks about over and over and over again. And that is the Nekuda as the Rebbe left. In such a time as Yud Shvat, naturally there can be two possibilities. Two approaches. One approach is for every chassid to think about what happened and the loss and what we don't have anymore and so on. And the other approach is punkfakert, to constantly focus on the fact that the Rebbe is here and the Rebbe is with us and he's leading us and he gives us brachas and we can still write to him and so on. So if we look at the sichas in that first year especially, we see that sicha after sicha after sicha, the Rebbe constantly repeats and reiterates the same thing that the Rebbe is da, but he says it in many different ways. And we'll soon go over a little bit of what went on during that year, how the Rebbe spoke about this subject. So the chayra, what we can learn from this for ourselves is that first of all, we have to look into the Rebbe's sichas
and especially those sikhas which were more recent. And it goes without saying, anyone who is even a little bit familiar with the Rebbe's sikhas will know that dafke in the recent months and the recent year before Chof Zayin Adar, what was the Rebbe telling us? All the sikhas, everything was all about how we have to prepare ourselves and the world for Mashiach. This is our avodah. Every sikha talks about this in one way or in another way, what it means that Mashiach's coming is imminent. That's where the Rebbe talks about who is Mashiach. And as we learned the sikha the last 2 days, where the Rebbe talks about the fact that the Nasi Hadar and every generation is Mashiach, and this is the only shlichus that's left to tell the word Igiyaz Man Golaschem and so on. Not only is this one of the Rebbe's Heiras throughout all the years, but this is the thing that the Rebbe focused on more than anything else in the last year and a half, before Chof Zayin Adar. And therefore, this is more Negeah to us than anything else. This is the Rebbe giving us Heiras for now. Also, the point about, as the Rebbe left, I just want to go over briefly. First of all, if you look at the sikhas, you'll see how this was week after week. And Fabrengen after Fabrengen, the Rebbe constantly spoke about this in different ways. And just to mention a few of them. In a number of places, the Rebbe was saying that we should know that the Rebbe is here, the Rebbe is with us, and if there's anything we have to understand why are we saying Kaddish. The Rebbe used to say Kaddish for the Friedrich Rebbe. Why are we saying Kaddish? And the Rebbe said whatever happened is something which only happened to our eyes of flesh, but in reality it's only a test. And if we realize that it's only a test, Hashem will eliminate this test and the test will be over, the concealment will be over. And the Rebbe basically compared the situation with the Friedrich Rebbe to three different inyanim that we find in Chazal. One is the Rebbe constantly repeated the inyan of Yaakov Leimes. The second was how Moshe Leimes. And the third thing was, well, the Rebbe brought out the inyan about the Friedrich Rebbe, that it's like Rabbeinu HaKadosh, where the Gemara says that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, after his passing, came back every Friday night to his family, and he participated in the Suda, and he sat in his place, and how this certainly applies to the Friedrich Rebbe as well. And the Rebbe only added that by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, it says he came back every Friday night. And by the Rebbe, he comes every day, and he comes to that same place where he always was. In this itself, there were a lot of discussions and a lot of points that the Rebbe brought out. One of them was the idea that when we say that the Rebbe is here, it means in a gashmizikal way, to the extent that the Rebbe is mechuyev b'mitzvahs. There's a pasuk which says b'meisim chavshi. Someone who passes away is potter from mitzvahs. So the Rebbe said that this doesn't apply to the Friedrich Rebbe, because in the story with Rabbeinu HaKadosh, we find that he made kiddush for his family, and the family was yaitza kiddush. How is it possible for someone who was not obligated to hear kiddush to be meitzi other people? And the answer is because it says in the Mefarshim on the Gemara that there are certain tzaddikim that by them they're mechuyev mitzvahs even afterwards too. They do mitzvahs. The Rebbe gives another example with the famous story of Avraham Avinu. There's a shul in Hebron that was called Avraham Avinu Shul, and that's because there was one time there was no minyan. It was Erev Yom Kippur, and right before Yom Kippur started, a 10th person walked in. His name was Rabbi Avram, and he helped them with their minyan. Because of him, they had a minyan. And after Yom Kippur, they went out to do Kiddush Levana, and the Shamash was going to take him home that he should break his fast in his house. And after Kiddush Levana, he disappeared. Nobody could find him. And they thought maybe he fell down, maybe he got hurt, and they searched for him in the dark for hours. And finally, reluctantly, they all went home. And that night, the Shamash had a dream. And in the dream, he saw this person. And he said, "Don't be so aggravated over the fact that I disappeared." And he said to him that, "I'm one of your neighbors here in Hebron, and my name is Avraham Avinu. and I saw that you had such agnus nefesh that you have no minyan, so I came to be mashlim the minyan. But I'm fine. So the Rebbe says, but this is a false consolation, because Avraham Avinu wasn't alive, so he can't be used for a minyan. So in reality, they didn't have a minyan. And the Rebbe concludes, the answer is Avraham Avinu also is one of those tzaddikim, that way he's here begashmi is in a way that he's mechuyev in mitzvahs, and therefore he's not like a malach or like an neshama, but like a person who is mashlim a minyan. And the same applies to the Friedrich Rebbe. One of the things that is also constantly clear in the sichas is how much this all depends on us. Whoever heard the Rebbe speaking, I'm sure remembers that it never ever happened in all the 40 years, the 42 years of sichas, that when the Rebbe spoke about the Friedrich Rebbe, he would say, Zeche Tzadik Lebracha, or would say, Nishmasa Eden, and so on. In fact, it says in the sichas that a few times people spoke like that to the Rebbe. They referred to the previous Rebbe and said these words, and the Rebbe got very upset. And the Rebbe was saying, Was shichter am avek von uns? Why are you sending him away from us? And the Rebbe didn't allow people to speak that way in his presence. What does this mean? It basically means that although we say the Rebbe's presence is with us and the Rebbe is here, but a lot of this depends on us, just like everything spiritually depends on us. For example, Rosh Hashanah, the Eibishter becomes a melech. But the Eibishter becomes a melech if we blow shofar, and if we do the davening, and if we don't do our avodah, and we don't acknowledge him as a melech, then he doesn't become a melech. What does that mean? Chas v'shalom, the Eibishter is a melech regardless. But it means, when you learn chassidus, we understand that his kingdom and his malchus is more revealed if we accept it. And if we don't, then it's more hidden. And the same is with all the Yamim Tovim. There are amazing things happening spiritually, but they all happen through us and through our Aveda. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then it doesn't really happen in a revealed way. So the same applies here. And that is that the Rebbe's presence with us depends on our Emunah. Which means that if a person believes that the Rebbe is with us and the Rebbe is here, this is something, the Etzem Emunah, that makes it be in a more revealed way. And if a person believes otherwise, or verbally says otherwise, that I don't believe that the Rebbe is here and he's gone, just like any other tzaddik is gone, by speaking that way, that itself causes that it shouldn't be in the same way. Like there's a sicha from the Rebbe, Tavshin Yud Gimel Pashas Ekev, where the Rebbe says that the Rebbe the Shver is Zeira Guter, he's very good. What does very good mean? That he comes to each person the way the person wants. If the person feels better thinking of the Rebbe that he's somewhere in Rekia Shvi, he's somewhere all the way up, then the Friedrich Rebbe is all the way up for him because that's what he likes. And if the person wants the Rebbe to be here with him, then for that person the Rebbe is here with him. In other words, the Rebbe's relationship to us is the way we relate to him. There's a letter in Igros Kodesh where someone writes to the Rebbe that he feels very bad because he saw the Rebbe's answer, and from the Rebbe's answer to him, he realized the Rebbe's upset with him and the Rebbe has a kpeda and so on and so forth. The Rebbe writes back, there's no kpeda and I'm not upset with you. The only thing that hurts is why you interpret my letters in a negative way. In fact, it's known, the Rebbe writes, that the answer that comes from here is depends on how you take it. In other words, because the person is taking the Rebbe's answer in a negative way, then chas v'shalom, that itself causes it to come that way. And if you take it in a positive way, that's the way you have it. So we see from this very clearly how the yachas from the Rebbe to us is the way we relate to him. Similarly, we find the same thing here with this inyan. In fact, the Rebbe, there was one of the sikhs, was on Simchas Torah, where the Rebbe said that everybody who goes to the shuls, which are not Lubavitcher shuls, and because it's not Lubavitcher shuls, you won't feel comfortable talking about things that you know as a Lubavitcher chassid. Nevertheless, everybody should go wherever they're going and tell the people, Moshe loy mes, whether they do understand it, whether they don't understand it, you should say it. Aye, the Rebbe says, it says in the Chumash, Lifnei Moshe, it says clearly that Moshe passed away. These words mean Lifnei Moshe, not before he passed away, but before something happened which makes it possible to think that he's not here. So basically, we see from this, and many others, just not enough time to go through all the Mara Mekaymus, all the references, but we see this Sikha after Sikha after Sikha, where the Rebbe, practically every Farbrengen, not an opportunity went by, where the Rebbe didn't use the opportunity to re-emphasize this once again, that the Rebbe is here, and that he's with us, and we have to see it that way, and we have to believe that way, and that itself brings the Rebbe to be in our presence. We also find that the Rebbe himself made a difference amongst, even amongst tzaddikim and even amongst the rabbeim, that as we go further back or further closer to us, the Rebbe talks about this point in a way that's more than before. For example, when the Rebbe said so many times about the Friedrich Rebbe, that he's here and that he's with us and so on, the Rebbe said that this is even more than one would say about the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezritcher Magid. They were also tzaddikim, they were also Nasi Hadar, but for them it was not at the same level as by the Friedrich Rebbe. Why? So the Rebbe explains, because the Friedrich Rebbe is connected to the sphere of Yesod. And those who know Chassidus know that Yesod is more connected than all the other spheres to the physical world. So therefore the Friedrich Rebbe's connection to this physical world is much more than the Baal Shem Tov and even the Mezritcher Magid. So we see how the Rebbe is speaking about the Rabbeim and saying that this concept, this principle, applies to the Friedrich Rebbe even more than before. And from this we understand, if Yesod is more connected to the physical than others, the Rebbe is connected to Sfiras HaMalchus. And by Malchus it's even more than anything else. But there's one question that comes up, a very simple question, that people ask. Listen, every Chassid believes that the Rebbe is still giving us brachas and keiches, and we can write to him and so on and so forth. And every Chassid certainly is begging and pleading and davening and doing everything they possibly can, because we want to see the Rebbe begashmis. Everyone agrees that we don't see the Rebbe begashmis, and we don't have the dollars begashmis, and we don't have the Rebbe's answers begashmis as we had before, and therefore there's nothing more that we want than that one day can go by without a yid and a chassid begging the Eibishter, we want to see the Rebbe again. So basically everyone agrees. Why is it so important to keep emphasizing this idea that the Rebbe is here and that he's with us and he's with us, the begashmis and so on? So the Rebbe himself explains this. Whoever wants to look it up could look this up. It's actually the Sicha of Shlach, Tavshin Yud. And in that Sicha, the Rebbe connects the two things together. That the more one realizes that the Rebbe is here and he's not gone and didn't leave us, the more they will feel committed to do what the Rebbe said without making any changes. And if a person begins to look at the Rebbe that he's distant from us, it's not only going to be in terms of where the Rebbe's presence is, it'll also affect how I'm going to fulfill the Rebbe's hiras and the Rebbe's directives to us. And therefore the Rebbe says again that I don't say Zatzal and I don't say Nishmas Eden, and the Rebbe concludes, and therefore people have to realize that we're not allowed to make any changes and do what the Rebbe told us to do now, just like before. To connect this to something practical, we've been learning the last few days the Sichas, where the Rebbe talks about, especially to the Shluchim, where the Rebbe tells us that our Shlichas now is to bring Mashiach and so on and so forth. And in the Sicha, the Rebbe also says who Mashiach is, that in every generation the Nasi Adair is Mashiach Shebedair, and in our generation the Rebbe says it's the Rebbe the Shver. Here too, the question comes up, okay, this was the way it was before Gimel Tammuz. We see it in Sicha after Sicha after Sicha that we're supposed to say and tell the world that Mashiach's coming is imminent. And that's the main Avodah today. And we see this in Sicha after Sicha before Gimel Tammuz that the Rebbe says the Rebbe is Mashiach. But how do we know that this applies to after Gimel Tammuz? So again, we have to remember that the reverse is true. When we look at things now, we don't say to ourselves, how do I know that I no longer have to do what the Rebbe told me? Adrabe, everything the Rebbe told us are things that are supposed to continue. Heiros Pratis, Heiros Klolis, about Miftzayim and about spreading Chassidus and about learning Chassidus and Shlichus. Everything the Rebbe told us, the Rebbe tells us, and these Sichas have to continue even more than before. If anything, one needs to bring proof. How do I know to stop doing what the Rebbe told me? Not how do I know to have to continue what the Rebbe told me. Everything the Rebbe told me has to be continued more than before. And if someone comes up with an idea that something the Rebbe said now doesn't apply anymore, that needs to be proven somewhat 100% that this and this inyan which the Rebbe told us, today we don't have to do it anymore. So Adrabe, being that in the Sichas, after Sichas, the Rebbe tells us our main Aveda is to bring Mashiach, our main Aveda is this inyan of being Mefarsim and telling everyone to be Mekabel Mashiach. Therefore, all these inyanim apply to us today in a way that's even stronger than before, unless proven otherwise. We know that people raise the question, how could you say, in reference to the Rebbe, that he's Mashiach after Gimel Tammuz? And some people are very upset about it, that it's against Halacha and it's this and that. So, just to mention a few points to know what to answer when this question comes up. And again, the Eibush is all help, and the question shouldn't be relevant anymore because we'll have the Hezgalas taken from Yad Mamish. But again, it's Gimel Tammuz today. And on a day like today, it's more negay than ever that we have to declare our amunah and our betachin and our commitment to the Rebbe's words. Basically, it's very clear in many, many different sources, and if I would have had the time, I would have prepared enough sheets to go around and to point it out. But there are many sources, and anyone, I guess, who really wants to have the sources on paper, if you can contact me later and I can make copies and give them to you. But there are many sources where it actually describes that this is the way Mashiach will come, that first he will come Nizgala, and after he becomes Nizgala, he'll be hidden from us, and after he'll be hidden from us, then he'll become Nizgala, and everyone will accept him. And there are many sources for this, and there's a source, Pashut in Rashi. In Rashi, this is something, if you remember, you can look it up, at the end of Daniel, there's a pasuk where it says, Ashrei HaMechaker, which means fortunate will be those people who wait for Mashiach. So normally this would be interpreted to mean fortunate are those people that won't give up Golus and wait for Mashiach. Rashi says no. It means fortunate are those people that after Mashiach comes and is revealed, and then he's going to be hidden, and that's when some people might give up waiting. Fortunate are those that his being hidden will not stop them from waiting for Mashiach to become Nizgala again. This is not a hidden medrash, and it's not somewhere in Kabbalah. It's Rashi and Chumash. What? It's the last Perek of Daniel, Pasuk Yud Beis. It's next to the last Pasuk in Daniel. And then there are a number of medrashim which say that this is the way the Nizgalas of Mashiach will take place. And in fact, in Mitzrayim, the same happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came, then he was hidden for 6 months, according to some opinions. And when he was hidden, it was a very big nesoyin, because when he first came, not everybody believed. And people didn't think that it was true. And now, on top of that, Paray gave them more tzaras than before. And on top of that, this Moshe Rabbeinu that he said he was sent by Hashem to take us out of Golus disappears. And he's not around. It was a very big nesoyin. And it says in a number of Mefarshim, one of them is the Chasam Sefer on Chumash, and the other one is Rabbeinu Bechai on Chumash, and then it's all based on the Medrash Rabbah on the Pasuk, Hinei Zeba, where the Medrash says that the same Nisayan that happened by Moshe Rabbeinu is going to happen by Melech HaMashiach. He's going to come Nizgala, then he'll be hidden, and then there'll be those that because of this, they'll stop believing in him, and then it'll be a big Nisayan, and will become Nizgala again. Again, this is something very clear. People can look this up in Teres Moshe from the Chassam Sefer. They can look, what? Parsha Shmois, the end of Parsha Shmois. And you can look it up in Rabbeinu Bechaya in the same place, the end of Parsha Shmois. And you can look it up in the Medrash Rabbah on Shir HaShirim, on the Pasuk of Hinei Zeba, which is Parsha Beis. Deime Deidi Litzvi. Because a deer also is that way. It runs in the forest. First you see it, and then you don't see it. It hides behind the trees, then it comes out again. It means that Mashiach will be like a deer, and the Medrash describes how this happened by Moshe Rabbeinu, and the same will happen with Melech HaMashiach. We know that, unfortunately, there are people that bring up, of course we're saying the Rebbe is here, and the Rebbe is with us, but Begashmish Leine Basar, it looks like anything else, and therefore they say, to say such a thing that Mashiach can come after such a time, is B'chal not Jewish, it's the Havdil Christian way of thinking. And there's nothing further from the truth, because the only thing that determines whether something is Jewish or not Jewish is Torah. Just like when it comes to the laws of Kashrus and laws of Brachas and laws of Shabbos and laws of Yontif, there's only one way to know if it's right or wrong. That's called the Shulchan Aruch. You look in the Shulchan Aruch, you look in Gemara, you look in Svarim of Torah, and you see what it says. So we have to look in the Svarim of Torah to see whether the Torah says that Mashiach can come in such a way. Unfortunately, most people are not knowledgeable in the subject of Mashiach. Even people who are Goyim in Gan Shas and Peskim, and they know all the halachas back and forth. Most people heard about Mashiach when they were children, and when they're 40 years old, they don't know much more about Mashiach than they knew when they were children. And it's very interesting. A lot of people try this. They spoke to someone and they said, now that you're 40 years old, you think you know more about Mashiach than you knew when your parents told you about it as a child. And most people break into a smile and they say, no, it's not in the curriculum in any yeshiva that I know. Maybe now it started. There's a curriculum to learn halacha. There's a curriculum to learn gemara. There's a curriculum to learn mefarshim, poskim. It's not in the curriculum to learn a subject called Mashiach. So people really don't study the subject. But in Gemara, Sanhedrin, it says very clear that Mashiach can come in two ways. He can be Minachayim, and he can be someone who passed away before. That's in Gemara. And not only is this in Gemara, but it's also found in Poskim. One of them is the Abar Banel, has a sefer which is called Yeshua's Mashiachai. And over there he writes that it shouldn't be a surprise to you if someone is going to tell you that Mashiach can come from those that are not alive, because it says so in Gemara. And then it says the same thing in Stechemet, another person who was a Pesach, that he writes that Mashiach can come two ways, and that's what it means, that Mashiach can come either as riding on a donkey or from the clouds. It means either he'll come in a very natural way or in a super miraculous way. It'll be somebody who was not here before and he came. And he brings the same Gemara, and he was a Pesach. We also find this in the Eir HaChaim, and Parshas Balak, the place where it talks about Mashiach, where he says the same thing, what it means that Mashiach can come by Nanishmaya. It's also written in the Zohar and Parshas Balak, the same thing, that Mashiach will be here, pass away, and come back. It also says the same thing in the Arizal. In fact, the Arizal, he compares it to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, just like Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he came back, that's how Mashiach will also become Nizgala. Not everybody will accept him. And then he'll go away like Moshe Rabbeinu went away, and then he becomes Nizgala and everybody will accept him. So for someone to say that this kind of coming is not Alpi Torah, has no knowledge of what it says in Torah about Mashiach. In fact, even in the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about Mashiach and uses Bar Kochva as an example, the Rambam says that if someone comes and he has all the signs of Mashiach and then he will be killed, then you know that this person is not going to be Mashiach in this generation. And he specifically says if he will be killed like Bar Kochva was killed. That's what the Rambam says. So on the contrary, if you look in the Rambam doesn't say that Chas v'Shalom if he passes away, or if it looks like he passes away. The Rambam writes exclusively and specifically only if he was killed. It's interesting that the Rebbe himself, there's a Ha'ara from the Rebbe, if anyone wants to look this up, it's in Chelik Lamed Hey, Parshas by Yigash, the first Sicha, and it's footnote, I think 5 or 6, where the Rebbe raises a question that in some places it says that David HaMelech is going to be Mashiach. So why can't we say that David HaMelech himself is Mashiach? And the Rebbe says the reason why we can't say so is because of the Rambam. The way the Rambam describes Mashiach, it can't be David HaMelech. What would you think one would say? How could it be David HaMelech? David HaMelech lived over 2,000 years ago, and Mashiach can't be from someone who lived 2,000 years ago. The Rebbe gives a totally different reason. The Rebbe says the way the Rambam describes Mashiach, he has to be someone who's going to be doing activities of Geula right before he becomes totally Nizgala as Mashiach. And being that David HaMelech did his activities 2,000 years ago, it can't be David HaMelech. In other words, the way the Rebbe describes Mashiach according to the Rambam is, if a person becomes Nizgala as a bus of Adam, as a human being of flesh and blood, and he has all the signs of Mashiach, and then he's not here with us, and he comes back as Mashiach, according to the Rambam, this is perfectly okay, because he already started the activities of bringing Geula. And this is clear in the Rebbe's Sichas, that Mashiach is here already, Mashiach is revealed, Mashiach began to make changes in the world. So after this came this period of hiding, and now we're waiting every second that the Rebbe becomes his Gala and take us out of Golos. Last night there was a Fabrengen here in 770, and someone made a comment, and I think it should be addressed, because it's something which is, which is unfortunately being misinterpreted. But someone said that those people say the Rebbe is here and the Rebbe is with us, something very wrong with it. Because by saying that, you're basically saying that everything is fine, we're okay, we're getting answers in Igris and the Rebbe is here, so what's the problem? We're living a good life. I don't think that even if you would search with a magnifying glass, you'll find one chassid anywhere in the world that Chas v'Shalom says that. In fact, all those people that are saying the Rebbe is here, they're the people that are constantly screaming, Yechi, we want the Rebbe back, Leine Basar, and so on and so forth. So all this talk about the Rebbe being Mashiach, all this talk is only, and saying that Mashiach can come in a hidden way, is not Chas v'Shalom saying that we need to go through this, we want to go through this, Chas v'Shalom. We want his galus taken from Yad Mamish. This is only saying one thing, that when you see something happening which looks the opposite of Geula, Chas v'Shalom to think that this is, oh, it's some sort of a setback, or maybe we blew it, and Chas v'Shalom, things aren't going to happen the way the Rebbe told it to us. That's why we bring all these Medrashim and all the Mefarshim, to show that Adrabba, this is one of the ways that Mashiach can come. It's not a setback, and it's not Chas, it's on the way. And of course, we're asking the Eibishter every second that this approach and this way should stop, and we should have this galus taken from Yad Mamish. But the reason why all these Medrashim are brought in, and the reason why all this talk is being said, is to realize, number one, the Rebbe is here with us, and the Rebbe is our Nasi, and the Rebbe continues to be Mashiach, not because we like it that way, we feel better that way, because the Rebbe said so. The Rebbe said that he's Mashiach. The Rebbe said he's taking us out of Golus. And unless, Chas v'Shalom, there's any proof otherwise, whatever the Rebbe says remains, and there is no proof otherwise. So it's not you need proof that the Rebbe is still Mashiach, you need the opposite. You need proof to undo Chas v'Shalom what the Rebbe told us and what the Rebbe said. And all these Medrashim, which point out, when the Rebbe himself would bring a Medrash, you see volcanoes, you see earthquakes. That's one of the signs of Mashiach. The Rebbe wasn't Chas v'Shalom saying it's a good thing, that there's a disaster. The Rebbe was saying, when you see these things, don't think there's some sort of a setback, or Chas v'Shalom, things aren't going as predicted and as planned. But this in itself is one of the simanim that it's taka happening. So the Eibishter help him, we should be yotze with all the simanim of the past, and which today, Gimel Tammuz, is certainly the day that's most conducive, that on this day we should have his galus of the Rebbe, l'matam asara tzvachim, le'enei basar, and that this would become the day of gula amitis bashleima for everyone.